pick it up. Well, I know you're God. Pick it up by the tail. So, of course, he was anyway. Probably got way down here at the end of the thing. And he said, pick it up by the tail. Now, this really happens. I mean, and he picked that serpent. He picked it up by the tail and went and stood back up as a rod. He says, now, Moses, I want you to take that rod, amen. I want you to lift it up over the land of Egypt because I'm fixing to express, amen. I'm fixing to, hallelujah, put my headship over the land of Egypt, hallelujah. And every time you stretch my authority over the land of Egypt, amen, I'm going to let my mind be known that I'm head over this situation of the children of Israel being in bondage for 430 years. And I'm fixing to deliver them. So Moses picked up a rod, picked up the serpent, turned back up into the rod. Now, we learned that that word serpent, this is fantastic. You don't mind me reviewing this, do you? That word serpent means to foretell with delight. In the Hebrew, it means to foretell with delight. Now, that means to us prophecy. To foretell is to prophesy. Now, what is it going to prophesy? That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that's powerful. In other words, now, in our life, it means this. Sure, you're going to be afraid of the circumstance right at first, and it looks like it's going to look like it's going to devastate you. Now, the serpents don't look too pretty, do they? I think most people are scared of snakes. Huh? And we get in circumstances, saints, amen. We couldn't apply that to our daily life, throw it away. I'll go get you something else better to read. Amen. If we couldn't take the Old Testament, the Bible, and apply it to our daily life and daily circumstances for it to change and work the nature of Jesus Christ, amen, then it would be all Scripture is profitable. That word profitable in the Greek means. So he said, pick it up by the tail. In other words, God just wants to introduce you to his humility headship. Amen. Start just lifting up the circumstance by the tail. In other words, the name by the tail, the mind by the tail, the authority of God by the tail. Just begin to say, Lord, you're head over all things. My God, you've allowed this to happen for some reason. Amen. Because the Bible says you're before all things, and by all things, by you all things exist. That's powerful. So we don't just take the thing by the head right at first. You know, we just don't master it immediately, but we pick it up by the tail. We got to begin somewhere. We start lifting up his name. Hallelujah. And before long, that situation will turn right back into, amen, the authority, the rod of God, the name of God will be stretched over that. Then we learned, amen, he said, now take that rod. Now Moses missed it, and he gave the priesthood to his brother Aaron. Because he said, God, I stutter. That's what the Bible says, that Moses stuttered, you know. He said, now you go talk to Pharaoh, an intelligent man who rules all the land of Egypt. And he said, you go talk to Pharaoh. He said, you got the headship by the in your hand. You got the thing by the tail. There it is. Amen. His personal life. He said, now you go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, that they might hold a feast in the wilderness. And Moses, I stutter. He said, I stutter, God, I can't. I don't know how to stutter properly. Amen. And God said, look, I'll teach you what to say. Now, that word teach means to have a good thought, and with that good thought, that it will come out through a fluent expression. Isn't that powerful? If we'll come under the headship of God, acknowledge his name in circumstances, amen, he'll give us, amen, the right thought, amen, about that situation. And it'll come out with understanding so that you can, amen, influence the lives of others. It will come out with a fluent expression. Amen. And you can turn around and explain, amen, the nature of God and help other people see. and help, amen, the children of Israel be set free from the land of bondage. And a lot of Christians are in bondage, amen. But if you'll be under the headship, when they come in contact with you, amen, God will put a good thought in your mind, and that good thought about his headship will come out in fluent expression. Now, I'm not talking very fluently this morning, but still, do you see what I'm saying? If you're under the headship of God, if you're not under the headship of God, you're going to be awfully confused. Be like the wilderness experience, amen, all tangled up. You won't be able to explain your Christian journey. You won't be able to explain how to go on for God. I don't know. I'm just confused. I don't know anything about the headship of God. When someone comes to you and, amen, ask you about the Lord and how to go on, you ought to have a good thought in your mind. It ought to come out with fluent expression. Amen. Then he said, okay. He said, I'll use your brother Aaron. And see, Moses refused, amen, the headship, the beginning headship of the Lord, and he lost the priesthood. It was given to Aaron. And he used that rod. Moses used that rod, amen, on other people continually. Well, let me tell you how to go on for God. Let me tell you about the nature of God. Let me tell you. But he didn't apply it to his own personal life, and he missed it. He didn't get to go to Canaan's land, amen. And God told him to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock. He got angry, not acknowledging God's headship in his own personal life. We can preach to others, but when things happen to us, hey, God, why? When? Where? You see what I'm saying? We can preach to others, and it's easy to preach to others, amen, but you've got to apply it personally or it don't work. Amen. And since I've heard that lesson, well, I found some good things in my life, amen, to surrender up to God. And what the devil does, see, he thinks that God's going to require complete surrender. Now, when new ones come into the church, they think, man, I got to do all that to go to this church? Do I have to act like those people? I have to do like, nope, sure don't. That's the devil lying to you. Amen. He makes you think you got to surrender up everything all at once. You got to take the thing by the head. No, he says take it by the tail. Huh? You don't learn his headship. You don't come under his headship all at once for everything. But the devil says, yeah, you got to surrender up everything all at once. Then you go, ah, and you flee. You don't have anything to do with it. That's a powerful principle. You take it by the tail. Amen. Then he said, you take that rod. He said, and you go and you speak to Pharaoh. So he spoke to Pharaoh, amen, and Aaron did for him. Moses would whisper to Aaron, and then Aaron would talk to Pharaoh. What a scene. Isn't that something? Now, if God tells you that, you know, to go do something, saints, he's going to help you do it. If he says go over here and preach or go over here and do this, he's going to help you do that, amen. But Moses didn't believe that, and he missed it from the very beginning. I mean, if you get your beginning right, then you'll end up right. You see how that's a good principle there. If you start off wrong, you'll end up wrong. If you have your beginning right, amen, you'll end up right. Hallelujah. So, Moses, amen, through Aaron, said, all right, Pharaoh, let the children of Israel go. Let my people go. Pharaoh said, no way. Amen. Bad circumstance, all right? A lot of opposition. You can imagine the stress and the pressure. Well, he's not going to let the children of Israel go. I thought God's going to make him let the children of Israel go. Here, this big man with all these guards with spears. Hey, this is a bad situation. Just me and Aaron and all these guards, the whole land of Egypt. Amen. And here we are talking to Pharaoh. He could throw us into the lion's den just like that if he wanted to. Then God instructed Moses to throw down his rod. And he did. And it turned into a serpent. Amen. Then Pharaoh called the magicians, the soothsayers, and all his magic men. Amen. And they took their rods, and they threw their rods down, and their rods turned into serpents. Had a bunch of serpents, then you had Moses' serpent. Amen. Amen. Whew, man, that must have been powerful. Then Moses' serpent, amen, swallowed up all the other serpents. Amen. Now, that's powerful. Now, they're even in the natural, there are some snakes like the python, that looks for, they look for other snakes, and they swallow them up whole. Amen. That was a demonstration of a second class of wisdom that God wants to give us, that he was trying to give to Moses, and that's swallowing up wisdom. Amen. In other words, if you lift up his headship, amen, if you lift up the name of God over the circumstance, after the first class of wisdom, then God will give you swallowing wisdom to where, amen, that the truth, and that word serpent there in that particular verse means to elongate. In other words, the truth is much bigger than the devil's lies. And if you lift up the name, you know what will happen? The truth will swallow up all the confusion, all the error, all the untruth. Amen. And you'll start seeing everything clearly. That's powerful, saints. If you don't acknowledge God's headship in your circumstance, you won't see it like God sees it. You'll just be absolutely confused. Okay, turn to Romans 8. I just thought I would review that for a moment. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish that, hopefully, either tonight or next Friday night. There's a third class of wisdom that God wants to give us, and it has to do with the seraphims. Seraphims, amen. The fiery wisdom, which is really cleansing wisdom. You ever prayed and studied and still didn't feel clean? Now the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but thereby taking heed, according to the word of God." Now how's it go? I hadn't quoted that scripture in months. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word, right? Amen. In other words, the word will cleanse you. You'll feel clean inside. It'll wash away sin. Amen. Inward sins. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of times we can pray, we can study, and still not feel that. And there's a reason for that. We're not coming under God's headship from one in our lives. Did you hear me? We're not coming under the headship of the Lord somewhere in our lives. We can still study. We can still pray. But for some reason, we don't feel that liberty. We don't feel that cleansing effect. Why? Because somewhere in your life, you're not surrendering to the circumstance. Somewhere in your life, you're saying, I'm worthy of something more. See what I'm saying? And you're not surrendering to where God has you. Now, if he takes something away, you can't redeem it, son. You're not the redeemer. Surrender to that. Amen. If he gives you something, amen, you don't want it, you're still not the redeemer. You can't get rid of it. Amen. God's given it to you. Now that's powerful. Surrender to God. Amen. You got a husband and wife with a lot of faults? You got to cut them in for a new one? That's why you don't feel clean in the word. Amen. Or whatever it might be. I'm saying that I need to leave it. Amen. And I thank you for me here and back. Amen. And the thing is, you won't feel clean until you surrender to the one that God has given you. Amen. You will not feel clean until you surrender to the job that God has given you. You will not feel that liberty, that glorious liberty, amen, that's so talked about in the Word of God until you surrender to coming to this church. Amen. Or whatever it might be in your life. You get up and go to church. You may not be surrendering totally. Amen. The God takes it concerning that matter in your life. Or I don't want this. I can't stand a mother-in-law. I do personally. But I'm saying that might be a situation. You see what I'm saying? It might be many things, saints. And if you're not coming into headship of God in your life concerning that, you won't get the full cleansing, fiery serpent wisdom. Fiery cleansing wisdom that comes out of this word. Amen. So I'm sure if we would turn the spotlight inward and do a little introspection
Amen. We will be able to put our finger on something, amen, in our life that we're not surrendering to. And what do y'all look to give to? Because we are. That's the truth, aren't we? Somewhere in our life, we're not surrendering to God's headship. And something in our life, now God's allowed everything. Now, the devil can't get past is a screaming process. He's lazy bones. I mean, you know. God is not going to allow anything in your life. Amen. I mean, the mighty power of God is not going to allow anything in your life that God doesn't think is necessary. Did you hear what I said? If God feels like it's necessary, then he'll allow it to go through the screen there. But if it's not necessary, the screen, Satan can't get through. Old dummy's at it again. You'll come along and pick him up by the collar and go, ah, bless you. Amen. Huh? The truth. So if something's in your life, it's because the power of God has allowed it to happen to you. But you know what you're doing? You're fighting it. You're fleeing from it like Moses did. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? You make it just like Moses did. You'll never make it to that land flowing with milk and honey. You'll never make it to that place, amen, from the tail to the mind. See, we're working our way up from the tail to the mind, amen, hallelujah. But he introduces you to the tail of the headship first. When you first got into this message, amen, he was like everything all at once, and you know that. You're still working on things. Now, you may have laid everything down all at one time, but gradually, you pick it all back up again. You see what I'm saying? Because you didn't really lay it down, because God really didn't require it of you. And when it's time, now this is so beautiful. When it's time for you to lay something down, amen, God, first of all, will put the will and the do in you. He'll put the want to in you. Hallelujah. You want to get that thing out. Hallelujah. For God's glory and your good. You want to, you won't be that, No, you'll be tied to, you'll want to. Now that's beautiful, that's powerful. It says, it is God that both worketh the will and the do in you. Huh? That's a good pleasure, amen, it's good. So, I'm going to get on that fiery serpent wisdom. Good serpent. There's a bad lion in the world. There's a good lion. Right? Who's the bad lion? Revelator. Who's the good lion? From what tribe? Peter. That's what Revelation tells us. Amen. But Jesus Christ is the good lion. And then the Bible says, amen, that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Huh? And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, hallelujah, I shall draw all men unto me. There's a cross of wisdom of lifting up his headship, amen. And if we do that, all that flesh that needs feasting, he will draw it unto himself, amen. Hallelujah. And it will be gone. But now, the connotation there doesn't stop in our present world. The Bible says when he was lifted up, he's going to draw all men into him. There is a day coming that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whether we be drawn to Jesus Christ now or later, amen, well, it makes a big difference, but whether we like it or not, we're going to be drawn to him. You see what I'm saying? I'd rather do it now and grow up by stature and be a ruler in eternity rather than be in the lake of fire drawn to you. Because all flesh, all men, he says all men everywhere that has ever walked and has ever existed on this planet will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, as Lord and Savior. And as head over everything. Now people can run from God for this lifetime, but you've got to face him in the next life to come, amen? Because he said in the Word of God He said, let every man be alive, but the word of God be true. But if I be lifted up, if he was lifted up on Calvary's cross, hanging between heaven and earth, amen. And he said, when I be lifted up, amen, I shall draw all men unto me. And I want to be drawn now. I want him to draw me now. I want to get rid of the things of displeasing to him now, not later. Amen. Romans 8. Let's get out of here today. Isn't that great? Baby, who's your friend? Is that right? What's his name? Kelly, that's right. Your mama speaks to all of you, Kelly. She lives here from Pedestal. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for Kelly and Deborah and King. Amen. Our marriage next week coming up. Amen. John Nelson calls. Hello. Hey. I'm going to tell you. I'm getting married. I want you to marry me. So I called him up at 12:45. And I got home. I said, hey, King, I'm a busy man. I got to call you when I can. I'm a king, I'm sorry. John. I did always tell me something. John. I said, John, busy man, I gotta call you on a phone. He said, yeah. Who is it? I said, hey, this is Brother Pete, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. He was dead asleep. He didn't know what was going on. I was gonna get married next week, I hear. Yeah, I do. I said, well, I'll call you Monday day. So we're going to get together with him. It's going to be a super wedding. Do you know Linda Mickey? I know you're in the Mickey game. I'm sure. Is it Mickey or Mickey? Well, I knew I remember Mickey in elementary. So it's Linda Hickey. But do I know her?
She went to Woodland.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
Turn to Romans 8. We have a lot of fun here, don't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Romans 8, verse 17.
Let's all read it together, all right? Let's read from 17, oh boy, to 25.
A lot of reading.
Okay, let's all read it together. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him he hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies.
For we are
saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hallelujah, that's powerful.
Let's shout prophetically over there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, open it up to us. Mighty God, teaching the word to us, Lord.
Jesus,
that we may serve you more perfectly, Lord.
We want to love you
and go on for you, Lord. And be in the new city, be in the bride, Lord. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, that's good. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, verse
17, he says, heirs of God and joint heirs with
Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He shows us what we can have if we suffer with him. Amen. If we suffer with him. Now, how do we suffer with the Lord? We go through similar circumstances. Amen. And some of the major circumstances that the Lord had to undergo was rejection. This seems to be the hardest of them all. It is for me anyway. I know that for you. But rejection is very difficult. Amen. And a lot of people, when they are rejected, amen, they want to run. They want to hide. They want to jump into an interior shell. You know, because of the rejection. But the Lord was rejected, and God will allow people to reject us in life. Amen. That we might be joint heirs with Christ. Amen. The Bible says if we suffer rejection with him, if we suffer with him, we shall also rule and reign with him. So he gives us a foretaste of what we can have in eternity future, and even now, presently. Amen, of the peace of God, if we will suffer with him. So thanks, it will come to you as a Christian. Don't let anybody fool you or tick in your ears.
You know, and you can make as many positive confessions as you would like. The pain and the law of opposites, the scales are still going to come your way. Now whether you accept it and cooperate with it and use it as an opportunity to say, Lord, this is what you went through, and I appreciate the opportunity to suffer with you. Do you see that?
Saints, that takes a revelation. You know that? You can preach that, and you can read that,
and you can hear that, but until God opens your inner eyes, you are always going to get mad when you reach out your hand,
amen,
and bring it back empty. You do things for people, they don't do anything for you. You get mad because they don't
heap up glory on you. We should do it for the Lord. He said, if you serve, amen, if you serve in man's world, he said, you have to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Receiving your glory and reward from him, then you won't get mad. If you're rejected, amen, you need to associate yourself with the rejection that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. And when you do that, amen, you just put your hand on your shoulder, you put your hand on his shoulder, and you have to talk about it. And he'll bring you over here to the Lord, hallelujah, and he'll share, amen, the precious seeds of the Word of God. He'll talk to you like a friend as you're suffering with him. And he'll bring you closer to him, amen. Persecution has always been the seed of the church. You know that? Persecution has always been
the seed of the church.